Now let me just say this before I go further here into this PowerPoint. We know that the Bible's speaking to us about not taking a brother to court, taking it out here to the world's court and into the courtroom. And he even raises the question. He says, you know what, you'd be better off just suffering the wrong of it than to go out here and put your brother in a courtroom before a bunch of unbelievers. And that's really hard for people to understand or even to receive, yet it is the Word of God. And yet, you know what, I'll say this, is we're having an epidemic in the church today of wives and husbands who are divorcing. And did you know taking a person to a divorce court, did you know what that they call that? That is a suing for divorce. And so that is a courtroom thing. And did you know that God speaks that a wife or husband should not take their spouse to court? And so we've seen a strong word from God about dealing in the world's courts, that things ought to be taken care of right in the church by the brethren, the wise brethren of the church. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk to you today about this whole concept of either taking it to the court or to the cross, and you'll see where we're going here in just a minute. But did you know that we are now in His kingdom? And I know that you know that. But I think we need to really, really think about that we are in His kingdom. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people." And then he says this, "that you should show forth the praises of Him," watch this, "who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." In other words, friend, you and I used to be a part of the kingdom of darkness, but now we've been called into the kingdom of light. And it goes on to say, "which times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which he says had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so we used to be not a people, but now we are a people. God called out people. And we used to be in that kingdom of darkness, but now in the kingdom of light. 2 Peter 1:8 calls it the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 calls it a kingdom which cannot be moved. What a powerful kingdom we're a part of. And 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says that He has called us unto His kingdom and glory. It's a calling out unto the kingdom of His kingdom and glory. And then Colossians 1:13 says this, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," now watch this, "and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Can you see right now that we are now in His kingdom? And because we are in His kingdom, where we used to operate under the kingdom of darkness principles, but now we are in the principles, we're to operate in the principles of the kingdom of light. Now, I want you to get that straight in your mind. And what is that? When he was talking about to the court or to the cross, God was telling them that the world's kingdom principles is that the kingdom of darkness principle is you can take someone to court. You can take anybody to court, but in the kingdom of light, you're not supposed to take a brother to court because we operate in a new kingdom, and in that kingdom we have new principles that we operate by. Now, with that in mind, we're going to lay a good foundation here about what we're talking about, to the court or to the cross. Proverbs 18:14 says this, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Meaning what? It means this, that it's talking about, you know, the attitude of a person can sustain a person in a moment of weakness. But a wounded man, a wounded spirit, a wounded attitude, who can bear? In other words, a person that's wounded with another person, offended with another person, if they don't take care of that wound, if they don't take care of that offense, it says, who can bear with that person? That bitterness, that unforgiveness will swell up in their heart. Did you know that they say that 90% of people in the pews hold some level of unforgiveness toward another individual? Now, that's a pretty incredible thought. I'm not the one that came up with that. That was through a religious survey, that 90% of the people in the church today have some level of unforgiveness toward another person. Now, where does unforgiveness come from? Where does it really originate from? It comes from painful events that have made deep slices of emotional cuts into our lives. And those events have hurt us. And that's where unforgiveness comes from. But where does unforgiveness reign? Where unforgiveness reigns, listen to this, the free flow of worship and the sweetness of your relationship with God is interrupted. And you know that to be true. When there's unforgiveness reigning in your life, you know that, that flow of worship with God and that sweet relationship and fellowship with God is interrupted. It's like having a low-level fever. It doesn't keep you from operating, but it does hinder your emotions and weakens your ability to respond to others properly. And when you have unforgiveness in your heart and bitterness towards someone in your heart, it's like that low-level fever. And though you keep going to church and though you keep working around a little bit, and sometimes even sidestepping those people you're bitter with or have unforgiveness toward, you know that it weakens your ability to respond to those people properly. Now, forgiveness is a kingdom principle, and that's what God's called us to. It's a kingdom principle that you and I are supposed to live by. I want to give you some principles to go by. Remember this. Everyone gets hurt. Everyone in life will get hurt sometime or another. And I wish that wasn't true, but it really is true that everyone will get hurt in the journey. I don't care if it's a small child, I don't care if it's a teenager or a senior citizen or a married couple or divorced or single or whatever, I'm going to say this to you, everybody gets hurt. Now you say, what's the point and why is it so important to hear that? Because some people think it's unusual that they get hurt in the journey. But I want to say to you, everybody gets hurt. I've been hurt, you've been hurt, people have been hurt so bad. So remember, number one, get it straight, everyone will get hurt in the journey. John 16:33 says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. That means while you're in this world, you're going to suffer some real incredible difficulties in life. Get it straight. Being hurt is not unusual. It's not strange. It is the way life is. Everyone will get hurt. Number two, remember this. It's a kingdom about the kingdom principle of forgiveness. The outcome of your lives is not determined by what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us. You say, what do you mean? What I mean is this. I've had people come up to me and they'll say this. You know, preacher, I am bitter because someone hurt me. I am like this because I got molested. Or, preacher, I'm like this because my husband divorced me. I'm like this because my dad abused me. I'm like this because someone hurt my feelings very severely and abandoned me as a child or whatever. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. That's not true. Remember this. The outcome of our lives is not determined by what happens to us, but by how we respond to what happens to us. You say, preacher, are you serious? Yes, I am, because listen to me. I know people that this person over here says they've been molested, and this person over here says they've been molested. This person over here is bitter, and that person is not. So what's the difference? The difference is not that what happens to them makes them what they are or how they are. It's how they respond to what happens to them. Now, that's a hard one for some people to even swallow, because you know what they want to do? They want to blame people for the way that they are. And can I tell you something? It's not true. You cannot do that. You and I have to learn that we are what we are because of how we responded to what happened to us. As long as I believe, now listen, what happens to me determines who I am, then I will always be a victim of my circumstances. I'll always look at myself as damaged goods and destined to be dysfunctional the rest of my life. Now, I want to tell you something. There have been some things that have happened to me in my journey that maybe you don't know about. And there are things that happened to you in your journey that I don't know about. And there's been times I got hurt, and there have been things that have affected me through the years. But if I really believe that those events really makes me who I am, then I'll always look at myself as a victim of those events. If I got molested or something terribly immoral happened to me against my will, then if I believe that that's who I am, then I'll always look at myself as damaged goods and dysfunctional. But you know what? Nobody has to be a victim to their past, and nobody has to be a damaged goods from their past, and nobody has to live the rest of their life as dysfunctional because of what happened to them. They are dysfunctional, they are continually damaged, and they are victims because of how they've responded to what's happened to them. They've never really walked away from those events with forgiveness in their heart. Now remember, again, forgiveness is a kingdom principle. You got to see that. We're not of this lost world kingdom. We are operating in new principles. Number three, forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. Did you hear what I said? I said, first of all, that everybody gets hurt. Second of all, is this thought is no, you are not what you are because of what happened to you. You are what you are because of how you responded to what happened to you. And number three, forgiveness is a choice. In other words, did you know that God gives us the grace as believers to forgive everybody of their trespasses against us? Didn't he say this? Ephesians. He said this in chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What does that mean? That means that God gives you the grace to forgive everybody that's ever hurt you, just like you expect God to forgive you. Man, many people do not like that truth because if they receive it, then they are responsible for the way they are and not their offender or their circumstances. In other words, we like to, in many ways, like to say, well, I'm like I am because this person did that to me. Or I'm like I am because they offended me, or they hurt me, or they molested me, or they raped me, or they abandoned me. Now, listen to what I'm saying to you. You've got to get past that, because if you don't, you're going to live the rest of your life as a victim to your circumstances. Take responsibility. Take responsibility and understand that you are responsible for the way that you are and that you cannot shift blame to other people. Many people don't like it. Remember what the truth is? Forgiveness is a choice. You can literally forgive people if you choose to forgive people, because God says you can. Now, number four, the greatest step to freedom is embracing these truths that I'm giving you. Embracing what? The fact that I understand, I embrace the truth that everybody gets hurt. I embrace the truth that I am not what I am because of the events that's happened to me, but I am what I am because of how I responded to those events. And number three, I embrace the truth that forgiveness is a choice and that God gives each and every one of us the grace to let everybody off the hook of our unforgiveness and bitterness. Now, the best thing for you to do is to embrace that truth. And if you won't embrace that, then what'll happen is, are the people you're working with, if you can't get them to embrace this truth, you know what? They must stay victims. They must stay damaged goods in their mind, and they'll stay dysfunctional the rest of their life. You see, forgiveness is the kingdom principle, and we are no longer in that other kingdom. We're in this kingdom, and we're to operate by kingdom principles. Number five, there is basically two ways that you and I can respond to life's hurts and unfair experiences. I'm going to give you those two ways. Number one, the natural response is be a debt collector. Now, what does that mean? That means this, that you hold it against that person, a debt collector. You remember in the Bible in Matthew 18 that man in debt to the rich man was forgiven, and he went out and he grabbed the other man by the throat that owed him a little bit, and he was a debt collector. And you can spend the rest of your life trying to be a debt collector against everybody that's offended you and hurt you, or you can respond the right way. The alternative is to hear God's call to the pure and powerful choice of forgiveness of all debts and to pursue restoration and reconciliation. I believe that God expects me to choose this alternative instead of taking someone and putting them as me treating them as if I'm a debt collector and you owe me because you hurt me. I believe God wants me to pursue that pure and powerful choice of restoration and reconciliation with everybody. Now you say, well, I'm not going to do that. Then you go ahead and live in bondage to your unforgiveness and in your bitterness the rest of your life. And you will never reach your potential in Jesus Christ. But because God forgave me, then He gives me the ability to forgive anybody and everybody of anything they've done against me. You see, it's either to the court or to the cross. You say, what do you mean? We may never take these people to a physical court of this world. But you know what we do? We take our offenders to our own court where we're the judge. In other words, in our heart, because someone hurt us, we're not taking them to some court where there's a jury and where there's a prosecuting attorney and where there's a judge out there in the world to the courthouse, say, here in town. But you know what we do? We set up our own little court inside of our own heart. And we are the judge, and we become the prosecuting attorney, and we become the jury, and we begin to pass sentence on everybody that's ever hurt us, and we want them to hurt, and we want them to feel our pain, and we want them to come to us and ask us to forgive them. Listen to what I'm saying to you. We want to sentence those people. Did you know that God does not want you and I to take people to a physical court, nor does He want us to take people to the court in our own heart? It's either to the court or to the cross. And my friend, to the court is the world's way, and to the cross is the Lord's way. What do I mean here? Our only course of action is to take our offense to the cross. You see, friend, listen to me. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Many of you have suffered many things through the years. I know that. You've suffered many, many things through the years. And you're hurt and you're wounded by that. But here's what I'm saying to you. If you will learn to take your offense today to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and let that blood of Jesus wash you of your offense and your hurt, I believe you can live free from that. That's the only course of action that for us to do is to take our offense to the cross. God doesn't want you to keep taking it to the courtroom of your heart. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle. Forgiveness is a kingdom principle. Remember this. You have no business living by the old world kingdom principles, that world of darkness. You have a responsibility. You see, you want to experience all the other wonderful kingdom principles. Well, this kingdom principle you're supposed to live by also, and that is the kingdom principle of forgiveness for everybody that's ever hurt you or everybody that's ever offended you. Now, how does one forgive their offender? Let's talk about that and give you some principles. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't know how I could do that. Well, let me tell you how you can do that. Number one, think about this. Forgiveness is impossible to do in the energy of your flesh. You cannot do that in the flesh. Flesh will never forgive anybody. You've got to do it by the Spirit of God, by the fullness of God's Spirit. You've got to come to the place where you tell God, God, I cannot forgive those people that hurt me or that person that hurt me or abandoned me or violated me. I cannot do that in the energy of my flesh. So right now, I choose the life of the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. And in the Spirit of God, I ask you to energize me to forgive everybody that's hurt me. Forgiveness is impossible to do in the energy of the flesh. It can be hard and costly, though, to forgive another of a grievous wrong, for it always means two things. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It can be hard and very costly to forgive another person of a grievous wrong, for it always means two things. Number one, it means this. I've been wronged, and by God's principles, I have no rights to hold on to that wrong. Now, that's hard for people to see. I've had people say, but wait a second, why do I have to let them go? I'm the one that's been wronged. That's exactly it. It's hard to come to that place to admit, you know, hey, I've been wronged, I've been offended, I've been hurt, but by God's principles, I really have no right to hold on to my wrong anymore. The other point is this. I've not only been wrong, but now I am wrong because I have feelings of revenge or bitterness. See, my friend, here's what you got to come to see. Is though they sinned against you, now you've sinned against them. Because did you know that revenge is not yours? The Bible says in Romans, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And did you know that these feelings of bitterness, did you know bitterness is a sin? And you and I have no right to hold any bitterness in our heart. And so you not only have to, listen carefully, you have to say this, I've been wronged, and by God's principles, I really don't have any rights to hold on to that wrong. And number two, I've not only been wrong, but I am wrong because I have feelings of bitterness and revenge in my heart. You see, friend, you got to take it to the cross and not to the court. Number three, we cannot forgive while hanging on to our rights and our sense of injury. There's no way. If I held on to all the things that people have done to me in the 34 years of preaching the gospel, and I've been married 34 years, coming up in August, I was called to preach right before I got in the ministry, before I got married, and so I've been preaching the gospel for 34 years. And here's what I'm trying to say to you. Listen, almost 35 years, really. I was called in my senior year to preach. I went right out and started preaching. You begin to deal with people, and you begin to try to help them. Can I tell you something? You're going to get hurt. Because you know what? You're trying to help people that are hurt. And there's no way tonight that I would be on this video teaching you these principles if I would hang on to all the wounds and my injuries through the years. I've not only had to do that, but I've had to actually die to my own rights to be able to be mad and angry with people. It wasn't just too awful long ago. I mean, not too awful long ago that our ministry got broadsided by somebody, and they really wounded us and hurt our ministry. And I had several people say, "Are you going to take them to court?" I can't do it. In fact, I have to die to the right to have hanging on to any sense of injury. Did you know when you got saved, you had to lose all your rights, that you no longer have a right to be mad? You have no longer have a right to be offended. You have no longer have a right to be bitter. And you no longer have a right to have unforgiveness in your heart. That's Bible, friend. That is kingdom principle stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now listen, do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you experienced? You say, "Yes, preacher, I do know that." Preacher, I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was that grace? That Jesus, who was rich, and for our sakes, he literally became poor. Meaning what? That Jesus became poor, gave up all of his rights as a rich King of kings and Lord of lords in heaven, ruling and reigning, and he came to this earth and gave up his rights so that he might become poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. And did you know that God wants me to have that same heart toward people? You say, "Well, why? You mean I've got to have that same heart toward people that offended me and sinned against me?" Isn't that what Jesus did? You sinned against him, and you violated his law. You were a sinner. You were a rebel, and he became poor so that the rebel might become rich. Did you know that I have to choose to be like that in the Spirit of God? This is how you forgive somebody. You step into the same spirit, the same attitude, and the same life that Jesus had toward all those that had sinned against him. How many sins did you commit against Jesus? And did he not become poor that you might be rich? To forgive, one must come to accept the sovereignty of God in their offenses. Meaning what? Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Do you understand today that God is sovereign? And what I mean by sovereign is this: that God Almighty is in charge of everything. And that there's nothing that happens to your life, nothing that happens to your life that doesn't cross over his desk. You see, even offenses and hurts and violations and wounds and things done against me, did you know that God was not oblivious to that? Did you know that God knew and saw that coming and he allowed that to happen? He permitted it. Him being God, could he not stop it? And with that in mind, so we got to come to the place, if we're going to believe that God is sovereign, we got to believe that he knew about all that. You know, I look in the scriptures. I will look at another session later, but I look in the scriptures here, the book of Job. In chapter 1, the Bible tells us that Satan was going to and fro, and God asked him, what are you up to? And he said, I'm going to and fro throughout the earth. And do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, now most people think that it was the devil's idea to do what happened to Job. It was not. In fact, the Bible says that God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a just man and he sheweth evil. In other words, the Bible says, God said, I'd like for you to consider my servant Job in your attack. In other words, this, did you know that it was God's idea that Job were to lose his children? It was God's idea. God allowed that to happen. It was God that allowed the enemy to touch his body and have those sores. It was God that allowed his friends to rise up against him. And my friend, you know, the other morning I got up and I was reading my Bible over there in Job. And that last chapter is so powerful to see what Job learned through all of these offenses and these hurts that he was able. The Bible said, you know, he had three friends that spoke against him. His wife spoke against him. And you know what the Bible says, that last chapter of Job there. In fact, I think I'll just take a moment here and turn over there. I didn't have it in my PowerPoint. But the Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And I got to thinking about that. Did you know that God delivered Job out of his bondage and out of his captivity when he was able to get to a place where he could literally pray for the blessings of God on his friends that offended him? And you'll be set free from your captivity when you're able to come to a place and you accept that God is sovereign and you can forgive all of your offenders, so much so you want God to bless them. Now, to forgive, we must come to see how many times others have forgiven us of our wrongs. Think about that. How many times have you ever done anything against anybody? How many times have you hurt someone's feelings and said something mean or struck out against somebody or misrepresented somebody? How many times have you needed God to forgive you? Listen, if you're going to be able to forgive your offenders, you've got to come to see how many times others have forgiven you for your wrongs. That puts it in a whole new perspective. When you begin to think how many times you've done things bad and you wanted those people to forgive you, you wanted God to forgive you. Now, to forgive, one must remember their worst acts toward others and realize we wanted them to forgive us. I want you right now, and I don't even like to do this too often, but I want you right now to go back to the worst act you have ever done. Worst act you've ever committed. Did you let your mind go there? Now listen to what I'm saying to you. Then my friend, here's the question for you. At that time when you did that, and you did something you thought you'd never do, it was so bad, it rattled your world that you did that, did you not go to God and ask Him for forgiveness? Did you not expect God to forgive you? Well then, my friend, I want you right now to understand, to forgive, one must remember the worst acts toward others and realize we wanted them to forgive us. To forgive, one must remember that if they do not let it go, then God will not let them go. In other words, if you go ahead and hold on to your bitterness and hold on to your unforgiveness toward, and you stay offended, then guess what? God will not let you go either. You hold on to that, then God's going to hold on to you. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. In other words, friend, look at what God says there. Look what He says. He's telling us a message here that when you are praying, you better make sure that you have no offenses, there's nothing odd against anybody, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, it says in the next verse, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. In other words, I think what God's saying is there is if My level of forgiveness to others, did you know, determines the level of God letting me off the hook for my trespasses? To forgive, one must yield and die to any rights as a child of God, to hold or bear any unforgiveness, ill feelings, or bitterness toward another person. Did you hear me? To forgive, one must yield and die to any rights as a child of God, to hold or bear any unforgiveness, ill feelings, or bitterness toward another person. Can you do that? God's grace is sufficient for you to do it, I guarantee you. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says this, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you see what God says here? He says that God was in Christ. Jesus was God. And Jesus came to reconcile the world. Reconcile means this, to bring the books in order, the accountability books. There was all this ought against you, and God reconciled the books that were against you in Himself on the cross. And He did not impute your trespasses against you. And by doing that, the Bible says, because you got saved and you got His forgiveness of your trespasses, He has now committed unto you the same word of reconciliation. Meaning what? God has committed to us the ability to have reconciliation with anybody and everybody. That's the word of God. Now listen to what I'm saying to you. I want to get this point across to you. Let's say that you will not forgive somebody. You will not make reconciliation with them. You will not let them off the hook. But you expect God to forgive you. Then here's the problem. You're telling God your standard of forgiveness, God, is lower than my standard of forgiveness. It means what you're willing to forgive people for, I'm not willing to forgive people for. Now, do you understand a holy God reconciled you? And you're a sinner, and you're telling God that Jesus Christ's work on the cross was enough so that you could get forgiveness of your sins, but it was really not enough so you could have forgiveness in your heart toward another person. That means your standard of forgiveness is higher than God's standard. And that means that really you judge God's forgiveness lower than your standard of forgiveness. Let's make a final conclusion here. Romans 8, verse 6 through 10 says this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for what? The ungodly. I think that was you, isn't it? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. You catch what he's saying? The Bible says here that, you know, when we didn't have any strength, spiritual strength, but in due time Christ came and He died for us who were ungodly. It's understandable that here that scarcely maybe a righteous man will one die, someone die for them, yet peradventure, even a good man, someone even dare to die for. But the Bible says in verse 8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, folks, listen to what he's saying there. Is when God commended His love toward us while we were sinners, a holy God died for sinners. We'd understand a righteous person, someone dying for him, or even a good man, someone dying for him. But God, a holy God, died for us while we were yet sinners. And now we are justified, totally forgiven, looked at as if we've never sinned through His blood. We are saved from His wrath. If anybody had a reason to have wrath against somebody, it'd be God against us. The Scripture says, for if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, listen to me carefully as I close. The Scripture says there that we were literally enemies of God. We offended God by our sins. And yet He reconciled us to Himself by the death of His Son. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that God Almighty has the ability, a holy God has the ability to forgive me. A holy God to a sinner, then a sinner ought to be able to forgive any sinner. And of all my sins that were nailed Christ to the cross, if He forgave me of all them, surely I can forgive that person that did that one or two or three or a dozen things against me. Surely, me being a sinner could do that since God forgave me. We were reconciled. We were saved by His life. You can take people either to the court or to the cross. To the court of your heart, judge them, sentence them, and you know what you'll do? You'll stay in that court with them and sentence them and judge them the rest of your life. You'll be a prosecuting attorney, a jury, saying guilty, 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 and bitterness will swell up in your heart, and your courtroom will get more violent and more aggressive in your spirit, in your heart, and it'll ruin you. Or you can say, you know what, everybody gets hurt. And forgiveness is a choice. And if God forgave me, a holy God, then me, a sinner, can let everybody off my hook. I want you today to shut down your court. Give up your robe as the judge. Get out of the jury seat. Give up the prosecuting attorney position and forgive all those that have offended you. To the court or to the cross. Go to the cross with it.